Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
Here is a tremendous Christmas prophecy. The Messiah is going to come. And when the Messiah comes, he's going to deliver the death blow to Satan. That is, the Messiah is victorious over Satan himself.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. Most of us are familiar with the story of the birth of Jesus. But have you considered that the full story actually begins hundreds of years before that holy night? Well, today on The Verdict, we're exploring the incredible prophecies and historical events that led up to the birth of Christ. Now, with today's message titled Christmas Prophecies, here's Pastor John Monroe.
This Christmas season, we're thinking of some Christmas prophecies. The coming of Jesus was no accident. The eternal, all-powerful God planned this magnificent way of salvation, a way of salvation which is prophesied in the Old Testament and fulfilled in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Last time we thought of the fulfillment of the prophecy in Genesis 3, verse 15. It foretells of a promised offspring who will be victorious and a continuing struggle between the forces of Satan and the people of God. Today we rejoice that our Savior has defeated sin, disease, Satan, and death itself. So, let's consider more of these Christmas prophecies, which will strengthen our belief in the authenticity of the Bible and lead to us worshiping our Savior this Christmas season.
I want you to turn with me in your Bible to the first book, Genesis, and chapter 3. And we will look at a rather cryptic prophecy, but a very important one regarding the coming of the Messiah. I've called it a prophecy of promised seed, a prophecy of promised offspring, found here in Genesis 3, verse 15. The Lord God is speaking to the serpent. Listen to what he says. Read with me. He says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring, your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. What an amazing prophecy. This verse is sometimes called the proto-evangelium. That is the first preaching of the gospel, because here in Genesis 3, verse 15, in the middle of the darkness, there shines this brilliant ray of promise. Yes, there will be conflict between the serpent and the woman, between his seed and her seed, between his offspring and her offspring. There will be enmity, but there's also a promise. And this Christmas promise, look at Genesis 3, verse 15 in your Bible, is that the offspring of the woman will bruise the serpent on the head. Who's the offspring of the woman in this rather cryptic prophecy? It is, of course, a reference to our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, writing in Galatians 3, makes it very clear that the seed, the offspring, is our Lord Jesus Christ. So there is coming a deliverer. There is coming a victor. There is someone who is going to come, who's going to defeat the enemy. He's going to bruise the serpent. And even in the frailty of life, as you look at a loved one, as you look at yourself, and you see the disease and the devastation of sin in a loved one, and in a sense it's horrible to see, and yet we look beyond that to a far better and brighter world as our Savior comes to destroy the works of the devil. Will you get that? And will you grasp that as you live your life? Now, there's another one I want to mention, and in a sense, it's anticipated in Genesis 3, verse 15. It's a prophecy of a virgin birth. Will you turn in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14? Now, here is the Old Testament prophet writing 700 years before the event. Notice what he says. Therefore, Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. What's going to be the sign? Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Was that prophecy fulfilled? Absolutely. Turn to the first book of the New Testament, Matthew. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew 1, verse 18. Matthew 1, verse 18. "Now the birth of Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, took place in this way. And when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit.'" Do you get that? "She shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." This is the seed. This is the offspring of the woman prophesied in Genesis 3:15. "You'll call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means, being translated, is God with us. Do you get this? Do you grasp this? This is what Christmas is about. God with us. God is at work. Yes, we believe that God can do the impossible. Of course we believe that God can do that which from a human perspective is totally impossible. That is, help for us is coming from outside of ourselves. Do you understand that? That salvation comes not from within us. Not at all. The Christian gospel is that the answer comes from outside of you. This is illustrated in a virgin conceiving. Nothing will be impossible with God. We're powerless to deal with our own failures and difficulties. We need help from God. By ourselves, we can't produce a Savior. I can't possibly save you. I can't save myself. No, human solutions will not work. God gives us the sign, a miraculous sign, the sign of a virgin conceiving, reminding us that help comes from outside of ourselves, and that the entrance of God's Son into this world as God incarnate is entirely unique. The virgin shall conceive. A Christmas prophecy fulfilled perfectly as we read in Matthew chapter 1. Now notice, no new person comes into existence at the conception of Jesus. The pre-existing Son of God, the eternal God the Son, takes something new, flesh and blood. He becomes one of us. John writes, the Word becomes flesh and dwells with us. He becomes flesh like us, therefore he is human. He's also different from us, namely he is God. Mark says in Mark chapter 1, verse 1, regarding Jesus, he's the Son of God. And then he says in Mark 6, verse 3, he's the Son of Mary. How can the Son of God be the Son of Mary? Because he is perfectly and fully man, and he's perfectly and fully God. He is unique. Does not inherit Adam's sin. Because he's conceived of the Holy Spirit without a trace of Adam's sin, as man unique in origin, all fair without, all pure within, our blessed Lord. He is unique. There is none like him, nor will there ever be anyone like our Savior. And this Christmas prophecy of the virgin birth, perfectly fulfilled in Jesus Christ, points to and illustrates God's pure grace in action. God takes the initiative. It is Jesus who saves us from our sins. He comes on this rescue mission. And this reminds us, can I personalize it to you and to me? This reminds us that each one of us must experience the new birth. Each one of us need help from God. We have sinned, we've come short, and we need a Savior, one who comes to us, who identifies with us, who in a sense is like us, being truly human, and yet he's different from us because he is sinless, but he takes your sin on himself and dies on the cross for you. And if you will trust him, he'll do a miracle. He'll forgive you your sin, and he will indwell you, because God can do the impossible. We sang, O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Will you pray this with me? Cast out all sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angel, the great glad tidings tell, O come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. There's the third one. We'll look at very quickly. There's a prophecy of the promised offspring. There's the prophecy of the virgin birth. And there's a prophecy of a birth in Bethlehem. Turn to Micah 5, verse 2, towards the end of the Old Testament. If you can find Jonah, after Jonah is Micah. Micah chapter 5. Here's the prophecy that the Messiah is going to be born in Bethlehem. Isn't that amazing? 700 years before the event, this man, Micah, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is saying that when the Messiah comes, he's going to be born in the little town of Bethlehem. Micah 5, verse 2. But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth to me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. I'm reading from the ESV. Instead of ancient days, perhaps more literally, from the days of eternity. The Messiah is prophesied then to come out of a rather insignificant village, out of all of the thousands of little villages and towns scattered throughout Israel. Messiah, the ruler, the king, is going to come from the village of Bethlehem. Nothing special about Bethlehem at the time of Jesus, one village out of a thousand. Yet the ruler, the Messiah, is going to be born in Bethlehem, not Jerusalem, the capital, not Hebron with all of its history, not Beersheba, but Bethlehem, the house of bread. If you know your Bible, you know that Bethlehem had quite a history, didn't it? One of the patriarch's wives, Rachel, Jacob's wife, is buried in Bethlehem. Ruth the Moabitess, in present-day Jordan, we drove through Moab recently when we're in Israel and Jordan. Ruth the Moabitess, the Gentile, is going to come with her mother-in-law, and they're going to journey over the River Jordan into what we call today present-day Israel, to a little town quite close to the capital, Jerusalem, Bethlehem. And there she meets Boaz, and there they fall in love. And she has a child who has a child. And so her great-grandson, Israel's greatest king, David himself, is going to be born in Bethlehem. That's why Bethlehem is sometimes called the city of David. And we know that David loved his hometown. There was one occasion when he was fighting far away from home, and he expressed a wish to some of his men that he would love a drink from the well of Bethlehem. When I go home, I eat haggis. I know some of you think it's terrible. It's equivalent to David drinking water from Bethlehem. I like haggis from Scotland. Some of you are looking, you have no idea what haggis is. Okay, Listen, there's a big world out there. Think of something nasty and you've got it, right? You've got to be born, I think, with Scottish DNA to really enjoy it. They say it's really good if you wash it down with whiskey, but I've never tried that, I want to say. Here is David. You know what it is if you're away from your hometown. You like things about your hometown. And David wanted the water from Bethlehem. And these mighty men round him, these men who love David, who are loyal to David, they take their life in their hands and they break through the enemy line and they go to Bethlehem and they get that beautiful water from the spring of Bethlehem and present it to their king. And what does David do? He pours it out as a drink offering, as an act of worship to the Lord. Yes, Bethlehem has a great history. Here is Micah prophesying that the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. Fulfilled, turn back to Matthew. We looked at Matthew 1, Matthew 2. Matthew 2, verse 5. The question is, where is the Christ to be born? Where's the Messiah to be born? They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For so it is written by the prophet. Incidentally, the Greek word by there is dia, through the prophet. The prophet is writing under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. And you, verse 6, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Yes, the Messiah was prophesied. He was going to be born in Bethlehem, and indeed he was. And now David's greatest son, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of David. When he is born, he's born in this little town of Bethlehem. And he's born, as we read here in verse 6, he's born a ruler, he's born a shepherd. The wise men recognize that he is the king. The ruler, the Messiah, the shepherd, the king, not only the king of the Jews, but the king of kings and lord of lords, when he comes in his incarnation of all of the places where he could be born in fulfillment of Micah's prophet written 700 years ago, he's born in Bethlehem. Aren't the scriptures marvelous? Doesn't that reassure us of the truth and the authenticity of the Old Testament scripture? And the Messiah comes, as the angels tell the shepherd in Luke chapter 2, that he comes to be the Savior. We could look at other prophecies, prophecies of Isaiah, that when the Savior comes, yes, as Genesis 3:15 predicted, the Messiah is going to be bruised, he's going to be wounded, but he's doing that as the sin bearer. He's entering into death itself so that we may live forever. The Messiah comes bringing salvation and redemption. God is always faithful to his promises. Hundreds of years before the event, the deliverer, the redeemer, the Messiah, the king is promised, and he comes as predicted, born of a virgin, born in Bethlehem, born to die as the sinless savior of the world. He's the central person of all of human history, the central person of eternity itself, fulfilling all of the Old Testament prophecies perfectly and fully in himself. Therefore, will you trust him? There's no other way. There's no other way for you to have victory over this battle between good and evil. There's no other way in which you can defeat death itself. Sin comes into us all so that all have died. That is the message of the Bible. But that's the message of human experience. We're all getting old. We all will die. But now into that darkness, into a world of disease and chaos and conflict and enmity and death, our perfect Savior comes in this unique way to be your Savior and mine. We're going to break bread. What's that all about? Why did the Lord Jesus tell us to do this? So that we would remember that he comes to destroy the works of the devil. And he destroys the work of the devil by himself going into death, taking on the devil and conquering him, giving his life, symbolized by the breaking of the bread, symbolized by the pouring of the cup as we think that his blood was shed so that we here today, boys and girls and men and women, can humbly bow and acknowledge him as Savior, as Lord. Will you do that? And remember that our Savior comes to destroy the works of the devil. He comes demonstrating that he's the God of the impossible. And he demonstrates that he is always faithful to his promises. Therefore, trust him. If you don't know Christ, if you're here and you're not sure, would you open your heart to the Savior and trust him? He says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. The scripture is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Put your trust in Christ. Our Father and our God, quieten our hearts. We thank you for the magnificence of our Savior. We thank you for his loveliness, that there is none like him, nor will there ever be anyone like him. He's the Lord of glory. We thank you for the fulfillment of these scriptures. We thank you for the holy texts of scripture, this inspired, inerrant word of God, which points us to the Savior and speaks of our Savior. May our hearts be warmed, Father. May we turn from the evil and the sin in our life and embrace the Savior. Come into our hearts. Some are not yet saved. Some have never been born again. May they trust the Savior. Others here are following Christ, but sin has come into their lives. May they turn from it. May they repent and understand that the blood of Jesus, your Son, cleanses us from all sin. We thank you that our Savior crushed and defeated our enemy. He destroyed the works of the enemy. We thank you that he's alive, the great, glorious, all-sovereign Savior. Help us now that our love for Christ may increase. We ask it in his name. Amen.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and the final half of a message titled Christmas Prophecies. The Verdict is a ministry of Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. And as we begin looking ahead to the celebration of Christmas, we want to share with you a special invitation to join us for our annual Candlelight Christmas Eve services coming up this Saturday, December 24, here at Calvary Church. If you're in the area, we'd love to have you with us in person for this powerful night of worship, carols, candlelight, and a message from Pastor John Monroe. And of course, no matter where you're located, you can also join us online via live stream. For more details and directions, just go to our church website at calvarychurch.com. And as we near the end of this year and begin looking ahead, consider joining our efforts to share the truth of God's Word into new communities across the globe. You can make a significant impact this Christmas season by giving a financial gift of any amount to help us keep this gospel ministry on the air. We've made it quick and easy to give through our website at theverdict.org. And one more reminder, if you haven't already, subscribe to The Verdict Podcast. In addition to these daily lessons, you'll have access to John's weekly podcast exclusive called Avizandum, where he addresses relevant topics like Christians and voting and the uniqueness of Israel. You'll find all this and more by subscribing to The Verdict Podcast. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Well, what's your verdict? What do you think of these fulfilled prophecies? Surely these can't just be accidents. Rather, they are the wonderful unfolding of the purposes of God. So, hundreds of years before the events, there are these prophecies that Jesus will be born of a virgin, born in Bethlehem, born to die a violent death. All have been fulfilled in Jesus, the central person of human history. This Christmas season, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Worship and love him with all of your heart.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.